Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. Good evening.
Yeah, but so good. So it's not necessarily a problem with regards to a minion. A mechitza might not be necessarily a problem. It's a machlokes, but there's definitely much reason and much argument to be lenient in these circumstances. I want to just point something out just historically, because I'm quite opinionated about this. This is before lockdown days and before Gad Minyanim. I've been very opinionated about this. You know the old-fashioned shuls? Do you know the old-fashioned shuls that were built, purpose-built, and there was a where the Baal Koyle lanes, the bima, there is a few steps up, and very frequently in the olden shuls as well, there was a fence around that. In one way or another, there was some sort of fence. To me, it sounds like it would sound very literally unbelievable and incomprehensible that the person who davens on the bima, that he is the Baal Koyre and the person having an aliyah, that they would be halachically regarded, excluded from the minyan, because there is mechitzas around it. You have a bima, three steps up, when Mishnah Mogen Avraham speaks about six steps up, or three steps up, and then you've got a fence around it. So if you would tell me that mechitzas, in the strictest sense, are a barricade and will split the minyan, that would by definition mean that the Baal Koyre and the person of the Aliyah is actually excluded from his own minyan, which to me sounds absolutely not believable. I know there's a bialocha that has such a potential tzad, but I am convinced that the minyan and the Messiah in Klal Yisrael has always been that mechitzas don't split a minyan. And I think we're probably mentioning when we learned Chelek Aleph, it sounds to me, so therefore, I personally feel that offences between the gardens wouldn't necessarily break a minyan. Certainly not if the alternative is to daven b'yechidus. I would have thought so. Okay, good. Gentlemen, we're going to carry on. I want to share with you just something I happened to see today. I must just, it's got nothing to do with what we are learning, but I just happened to be quite impressed by this short, very, very short, but very powerful, quotation which I saw today by Rabbeinu Chaim Isaac Ozhinsky, who was the ultimate leading authority, the greatest posek and leader between the wars. He was nifted in the late 1930s. Reb Chaim Oizer, who was the unparalleled gadol just before the Chazon Ish became the ultimate leader of the generation. And the Reb Chaim Oizer was multi-talented in many, many areas. In halachic response, he wrote lots of tshuvas, in psokim, in leadership, in hanhoga, in guidance, in loads of many different ways. At the end of his life, there was many, many written tshuvas that he had actually written, tshuvas, and they were pretty much ready for publication, but not quite ready for publication. And Reb Chaim Oizer was his whole life, he never really had an opportunity or the logistical facilities as well as the time really to actually publish all his teshuvas. His nephew, he didn't have Nebuchadnezzar any children, that's a story on its own. He only had one daughter who deceased very, very young. She was a young girl, I believe, of 17. She passed away. He never had any children, but he had a nephew who was very close to. And this nephew, Azab Chaim Oizer, literally a few months before he was Nifta, maybe a year before Reb Chaim Oizer was Nifta, this is maybe 1939, maybe 1940. I think it was Tov Shin, I think it was 1940. And Reb Chaim Oizer was then asked, the nephew asked Reb Chaim Oizer, asked him, you know, this is, you've got so many tshuvas that are ready for publication, don't you think it would be worthwhile your consideration to actually publish it, or at least getting you ready for publication? And Reb Chaim Oizer then responded, and he said, you know, I'm so busy, there's so many tzoros in Klal Yisrael, there's so many people who need my help and my advice, and my brachas, and I'm so busy that I just haven't got the time for it. And if my publication, if I'm going to engross myself, and I'm going to be busy, and I'm going to be handling and put my focus on the publication of my own writings, that will deter even one person from coming to me, then it's not worth it. Because the publication is for Talmidei Chachamim, for people learning Torah, for everything. It's all right. But what about my greatest chus is to help others, and I'm not helping as much when I'm writing and publishing something than if I'm helping people on the ground. He didn't work on a publication, and nothing was published during his life, like only after he was Nifta. Indeed, his nephew started publishing Tshuvas of Chaim Oizer. But I just feel it so interesting, because we would look at it differently. We would look at the eternity and the long-lasting effect of publicized books, but he didn't look at it like that. And I just thought it's an interesting perspective of Chaim Oizer. We are ready for page 132, Siman Tov Samach Vav, Haroik V'mei Regleim, V'doiv V'machmitzim. This is now going into the halachas of the what liquid is actually considered a liquid which would make it kochamet. So we have discussed yesterday and last few days' discussion was about the bran and other parts of the wheat which would potentially become chametz or not. And we discussed it, what is included or not. We spoke about the water with may peiros, etc. Now we're going to be addressing a bit more by the actual liquid. What is actually considered water? So far we discussed the topic of may peiros. Very good. May peiros plus water, may peiros without water. But what actually is defined as water? How do you define water? And then we'll go into various discussion. And this is preceded by another very interesting halach, which is actually the sugya of medicines. So let's see that, because it's really, really important and relevant. Simtov Samach Aleph im Aroik Meiraglaim Vidoima Machmitzim. What about the roik, the spit, the saliva? For doima, similar liquids emerging from a person's body, if that's Machmit. Lo yilois Odom Chitim. A person may not chew wheat. Vayitin al Gabi Makosoi, and then putting on his wounds. Mipnei machmitz is because they will become chometz. Sheroik machmitz because the saliva makes it go into chometz. So here we have got somebody who wants to chew some grain, some wheat, and he wants to chew that. That by chewing it is a medical ingredient that if you put on a wound, it will heal the wound. I suppose nowadays we've got more effective remedies, but it's something which seemed to have helped. Shulchan Aruch says you can't do that, because by having the saliva is going to make it go into chametz, and therefore it's also. Mishnah Berurah Sifkon Aleph explains. Vital kabe makosim, placing on the wound. Roit saliva, she'aladei le'isa befev, by chewing it in your mouth, misarvin achitim beroik, the wheat will go together with the saliva, v'yachmetzu, and it will become chametz. K'shishol gabe makom, when it's going to be placed on the wound, b'shikashiyamil, when it's there for 18 minutes, it's going to turn into chometz. And it's going to be over bali roi bali motze. So the issue is not the eating, because I imagine he only chews it for a second, and then he puts it on the wound. So he's not going to be eating chometz, but he's going to be over bali roi bali motze, because it will now become chometz, and once it's become chometz, even if it was placed on his wound before Pesach, so he must remove it. When Pesach comes in. Now, what's important over here, is the next line in the Mishnah Berurah. The addresses what happens if that's very important. What happens if this wheat is not his own, but it belongs to the goy? So instead of taking your own wheat and chewing it and putting it on the root, you're taking a goy's. Now, considering the fact that we're discussing Bali Roy and Bali Motze, so As we know, is only if something is yours. If something is not yours, if something belongs to the God, you're not even Baliwe Balimotse. So the question is, if a person has a wound and he wants to put such an item on his wound, whatever it may be, so does he help? Can he take wheat which belongs to the God, chew it quickly within the 18 minutes, and then put it in on his wound, and thereby having the remedy and at the same time not even baliwe balimotze? So Yidim Shtebura says as follows: Kol zeh, because we are poiskim third line. Kol zeh bechitim shel Yisrael. That's all with regards to wheat of a yid. Aval chitim shel goy shelo asan a goy. If the wheat belongs to the goy, and actually the goy chewed it, veishil on Yisrael, and he lent it to the yid. Le'anichon gabem makosas, to put it on the wound. So it's pre-chewed by the Gentile. This will be permitted, as long as the soil doesn't take responsibility and ownership of it. If it was owned and pre-chewed by the Gentile, and the Jew takes it and puts it on his wound, now whilst it still belongs to the goy, it's still fine. What happens if the wheat doesn't belong to the goy? Doesn't have, but you want to give, the yid wants to give to the goy to chew, then the halacha is, yochal Yisrael haknes lechitim mishaloi, v'leisan lagoy, you can take the wheat, immaculate, to the, give it to the goy, and the goy will chew it, and return it then to the yid. V'shubi, yikabel ha'yisrael memenu zeretia rabitur ha'sheilu. V'avopi, shechometz also ba'ano, although chometz is also ba'ano, and here comes the question, gentlemen. Now comes the question, here comes the crunch. What's the difference? What's the difference if I had the wheat and I passed it on to the goy and he chewed it, and now I'm taking it back from him without acquiring it, I'm taking it, I'm putting it. Why is that okay? Surely, says Mishnah Bush, Avol Bisha Chometz Asu Ba'ano, says the Mishnah Berurah, surely there's still isan isahano. I'm still benefiting. I'm still deriving benefit from something which is chometz, as Brad mentioned yesterday. It's an isahano. You've got that. It's an issa of actually deriving and having benefit from chometz. So never mind that you're not even balioy baliyemotze because it's not yours. All right, very good. You're not even eating chametz because you're not chewing it, because it's not whilst you're chewing it, it's not chametz yet. But at the end of the day, you're taking this wheat which now is in process of becoming chametz, and you're placing it on your wound, and as it becomes chametz, whilst it becomes chametz, you actually healing from it. It's supporting the wound. So surely you're having anor from chametz, and having anor from chametz is also. So who cares who chewed it? Who cares who owns it? It's chametz, and you're having benefit from it. How can that be fine? And here comes the Mishnah Berurah with a very important chiddush, which is relevant to every single Pesach. V'afiluchem tzushlakum, shiny hochi, it is different over here, shunene mechomet zeh sheloi kedeich ana osoy. Says the Mishnah Berurah that yes, generally speaking, there is a issa of having hana from chametz. You don't have to have benefit from chametz. However, over here, this is not a normal way of having benefit. It's sheloi kederech hana. It's not a normal way of having hana. Normally, how do you derive benefit from something? Not by chewing it and then placing it. There's something abnormal about this, and therefore, it's sheloi kederech hana. It's a normal way of having hana from wheat. It's not a normal way of having hana from it. This would be only be rabbinical. Uvemakum choyli. And since this is a, it serves the purpose of medicine, it's b'makom choyli, although it's ein bo sakana, therefore chomim u'matir. So therefore, let's start the other round. If you have got a sakana, a real danger, of course, everything is permitted. It goes without saying, as we've spoken about countless times, when something is in danger, of course, everything is permitted. Now, when it comes to choyli she'ein bo sakana, somebody is a registered chole, he's not well. He may have temperature, he may have a wound, he may have something, it's something which needs to, it has a medical issue. So there, we are allowing various derabonans. One of the rabbonans that are permitted is to have hanor of chametz in an irregular way. Now, hanor in a regular way is the raisa. Placement of a chewed piece of wheat on a wound is an irregular kind of hanor. That is only midrabbanon. It's rabbinical. And in an instance where there is a makom choli, chachomim were matin, they allowed this rabbinical issa, which normally is also. That means that you wouldn't be allowed to do this if there's no medical purpose, if there's no chole at all. But since it's medical purpose, now why is it so important? Why is it so incredibly important? It's incredibly important if somebody wants to take a paracetamol on Pesach. What's the comparison? Yeah, the line wasn't 100% clear, but I think I picked up what you said. That absolutely, so the poskim say that just like, so if you have got a capsule which may have chametz, it's not even sure it is, but let's assume that some medicines contain chametz, and a person may chalila have, let's say, a spitting headache. There's no sakana, but he's got a headache, and he wants to see to it to have a medicine. So now, to have a capsule and swallowing it is shaloi kederech hanor. It's not a regular way of eating chametz. It's an irregular way of eating chametz. Now, normally you wouldn't be allowed to do that. It's shaloi kederech hanor, which is still the rabbanon. It's rabbinically also. But, b'makom choli, in an instance of medical need, chachamim allowed it. Shaloi kederech hanor, b'makom choli is permitted. So, based on this concept that we are seeing here in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph, this is the principle applied why a person is allowed to have medicines on Pesach, even if they may contain chametz. Because b'makom choli, chachamim allowed a shaloi kederech hanor benefit from chametz. So that's what many poskim want to suggest. What I'm going to say now is a bit controversial, but it's in line with that. It's a little bit questionable. The countless lists that are published every year about medicines, which the Batei Dinim publicize. It turns out, according to this Mishnah Berurah, that there may not necessarily be such a huge need to publicize them, because if they are eaten in an irregular way, shloi kederech hanor, then even if it has chametz, it would really be permitted to consume it, because shloi kederech hanor, it's makom choli, and shloi kederech hanor would be permitted. So most people don't take medicines unless there's a medical need for it. So assuming that people are taken for medical purpose, and it's shaloi kederech hanor, he would be permitted anywhere according to this Mishnah Berurah. Do you hear that? Yeah, I think it's a valuable, it's a choshev svara there. Yeah. Oh. Are you talking about medicines A that you're likely to use and B that are likely to contain chametz?
Yes.
Likely to use and likely to contain chametz.
If you're likely to use, but you don't know if you're going to have to. You may need a Panadol.
Right. So I think that a Panadol I wouldn't sell. Because you can't go, because our sales are done in such a way. I wouldn't put in a place which has a Panadols. I wouldn't sell. If there's a chance, you may need it. So I probably wouldn't sell it. No. Medicines which are, however, the medicines which are vadai chametz, and you are less likely to use, for instance, syrups, vechedoyme, syrups and similar, that would probably sell, because they're vadai chametz. But a sofek chametz, I wouldn't sell. Precisely because what we discussed now. So I think it depends very much if it's vadai or sofek. Likely to be chametz or not likely to contain chametz. Okay, we continue Sof in Sif base. Okay, what happens if a person places his barley in front of his animals? And there is saliva found on the barley. These barley's got to be removed and taken away. Because, as the Mishnah Berurah said in Sif Katan Gimel, the Tzorich Lebarim, the Roik Machmetz, because saliva is considered liquid which becomes chometz. Al Kain, therefore, Tzorich Lebarim, therefore it must be removed. Ve'af, Shelo Yehoshua Sabahema Be'achilosa Kishyemir, although the animal may not have been there for 18 minutes, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter, because once the saliva is landed on the barley, it's going to be there for 18 minutes and therefore perhaps become chametz. For Yavar Bairoe, and he will therefore be transgressing Bairoe. So the first point we're seeing over here with regards to various liquids is that saliva is considered chametz. I mean, it's considered a liquid which does become chametz. Consequently, if you have animals which were eating barley, and you find that barley saliva, you've got to assume that it is proper, real chametz, and it must be removed. Okay, gentlemen, to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the wound. You can't put chitim on the wound once you've chewed them, because they are considered, the saliva of a person is considered liquid which makes the gochometz. Person therefore is going to be oivon baliroi bali motze. The only thing which can be done is by a goy, if it's a goy's grain and he chews it and it belongs to his and it stays his, to place it then once it's become kind of a medicine, to put it on the wound, that would be okay. So Mishavu then asked an important question: what about hana? Why is it not also because you got hana from this chometz item? And the answer is there's no problem of hana. There's no problem with Anor, because Anor, which is Shaloi Kedech, which is an irregular way, is permitted in the Mokum Choli. We learned that from here, we learned that capsules would be permitted on Pesach, even if they may contain Chometz. And then we learned that not only human saliva is considered considered a liquid which becomes chametz water, but also the saliva of animals. Therefore, if you've got barley which may have been some dripping from the animal, some saliva, then you've got to remove it. Although the animal may just have been there for a minute or two, but we assume that the saliva that landed there is going to stay there for 18 minutes and may develop into proper chametz. Okay, we're going to see the Ramon next week, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, so Shia on Sunday again at 8 o'clock, and we'll discuss, we'll continue from there, Be'ez Hashem. Wish you very, very